We're not going to have any conversation here anymore. Okay. Let me know when it's okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. First, I want to point out that for Halloween, I plan to look like Tom Marcus. That's my goal. I got to whiten it a little. Beyond that, don't get too comfortable. What we're going to do is we're going to go right across the street right now and do a little bit of touring of some of the buildings. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and recess this portion of the meeting. We're going to walk across the street into one of the big barns, and that's where we'll reconvene our meeting and just do a little bit of sightseeing about what those buildings are. Sound all right? Everyone okay? All right. Great. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get started. As we're waiting for a couple other supervisors, this would be a good time to do introductions and really say thank you for all the folks here today. This is just one of just the start of a real visioning process to what we want to have for the County Poor Farm and for the locations and such. So as we get started here, we'll go ahead and do a little introductions. Mickey, do you want to start? And talk really loud so they try to pick it up.
I'm Jim Elaine Swining. I'm the chair of the Iowa City Historic Preservation Commission.
I'm Jennifer Price, and I'm the chair of the Johnson County Historic Preservation Commission.
Mike Carberry, candidate, Johnson County Supervisors.
Ruth Walker, Johnson County Historic Preservation Commission.
Sheldon Slaughter, Facilities Manager, Johnson County.
I'm Becky Foxman, Sustainability Specialist.
Alex Freeman, Director of the Johnson County Historical Society.
Larry Gullett, Director of the Johnson County Conservation Board.
Doug Booth, Ray Director of the Department of Neighborhood Development Services, Iowa City.
Bob Burns, Architect, and we helped the county build the Melrose Ridge, the apartments that are next to Chapman. Special
meetings. Bob Angerlich, I'm the director of Table in Iowa City.
I'm John Muller, director of the Corville Medical Food Pantry.
Kent Ralston, director of the Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Ron Kennedy, Iowa City engineer.
Rick Foss, Public Works Director.
John Marcus, Iowa City manager.
John Christensen, member of the Johnson County Historic Preservation.
John Young's a farm manager with Farmers Management Company. I currently work for the current farm operator out there on the farm for the county.
Mike Moran, the Iowa City Parks and Recreation Director.
John Yap, Iowa City Development Services.
Zach Greg Hall, Superintendent of Parks, Iowa City.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Our item on our agenda, after we've done our site visit now, is work session business discussion of the County Poor Farm, including but not limited to prior plans, current uses, historical significance, recreation and preservation potential, development possibilities, and other future needs and uses. And we have just kind of a mock items to kind of go through to kind of help get the conversation started. And again, as you participate with us in this process, again, just remember to state your name so that we have it for the auditor, and this is being recorded, and you can listen to this on the webpage as well. So looking at a summary of current status and such, we'll first maybe look at MPO plan.
Sure. In 2012, the Board of Supervisors approved an updated plan. There are copies there by the agendas. It's also available electronically on the board's website. The MPO worked with the board and other entities. It's very general. It kind of spells out a process, I guess, for future uses, some of which the board has already done, including applying to the National Register of Historic Places, then preparing an inventory of the structures, planning for a phased restoration of the structures. That's part of what we're involved in now. And then prepare a plan for interpretive signs. some specifics with regard to residential facilities and open space and agriculture. And I know there's a lot of people here, so this probably isn't too helpful, but the two maps on the back behind me are attachments from that. They kind of spell out the area in purple is at that point was designated for public, and so that includes the area that Chatham Oaks and the Joint Emergency Communications Center and then Melrose Ridge. And then the bluish-green is acres for farm and park. That's part of the historic farm. The light green was purchased later. And then the kind of hashed area is if there was ever to be future development, that would be the area that would be targeted for that. But that would be entirely based on future action of the board. So that would kind of, I mean, that's the current plan that's out there. And again, there are copies available.
So comments? I mean, as far as the MPO plan, is there a need to ask for additional things from MPO at this point? Anyone have any desire for that? I think pretty much it kind of laid out some of the steps, and these are the steps we're going through right now. So it did kind of give us a bit of a game plan. Supervisor Harney and I, we're on the Board of Supervisors that kind of started the idea of actually doing something about the county poor farm back in 2001 and 2002, and that started the process because we were getting inquiries from developers, from folks that wanted to create a golf course. UAY was very interested in wanting to be built out there. I mean, there was a lot of pressure to come up with something, and so we had started that, and I think in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been much more aggressive with the help of MPO in really kind of making sure that these buildings aren't lost. And so that's what we're up to right now. If we want to go on then from that to our current uses, and Andy, I'll just kind of let you go through some
of
this.
Sure, and I just put this on quick just for if you haven't been here, and I was hoping that would work, but there's a shade that won't pull down. But this is the area that you toured, the building. If you went down to the cemetery, that's here. Chatham Oaks, Vivian Davis was along with us in part of the building. She's the director there. And then the Joint Emergency Communications Center behind. And then the two apartment buildings that Bob referenced, Melrose Ridge, kind of semi-independent homes for those with special needs. The Historical Society, as Alexandra indicated, is involved in helping to interpret the asylum in particular. And then, as John indicated, the rest of the farm is row cropped pursuant to a farm lease with a local farmer. So that's what's all going on at the property at the current time. Yeah.
Mike Carberry here. I just had one question about this map, the 40-acre section that's in the light green up there. Was that the section that's not historical part of the property?
Right.
Is that the dividing line? So that was all never part of the poor farm, correct?
Or I'm seeing later, I guess. I'm not sure about
that. It was not part of the original poor farm, and so it's not in the historic registry. The poor farm actually went across the highway or the road out here, and this was part of the poor farm, and it went across 218. And until 2 years ago, the county owned a little sliver of land off of 218 on Camp Cardinal Boulevard that was part of the original poor farm also.
Other questions? Sure.
I think this might go back to our previous.
Oh, and state your name. Okay.
Oh, Jennifer Price. When we started putting the poor farm on the National Register and started doing the nomination, there was a evaluation done by Doug Steinman about how to go about preserving these buildings and how to repair them in a historically sensitive way. I I just want to know who's making, how, are you still following that? And how is that being decided?
Yes.
Because there was a building that came down. And
yeah, that building, and we had further conversation. That building, I don't think the numbers that were given to us were, and he even admitted that it may not work because you'd have to pick up the structure to relay the foundation, and you couldn't pick up the structure the way it was standing. It was after the wind that came through later, it shifted even more and started just, it was completely unstable and on its way down. So we vacated it. We took everything out of it I did a lot of the work personally to take everything out of it that we could before it just collapsed in on itself. And then it's one of those things where do we let it just collapse in on itself, or do we just, since it's already on its way down, do we just safely let it kind of come down? And so that was the decision that was made because we couldn't do anything with the structure because of the termites, because of all the damage that had been done over the years. And the way it was actually twisted in actually several different directions, it was really, I took a video and a lot of pictures to try and document the building as best I could. So that way people could understand, first off, why it came down. And it's because of lack of attention over the past, 50 years, that when you don't upkeep a building, that's the worst thing for it. It just starts crumbling. So anyway, yes, we are following the directions in those. That's what Eldon has been tasked to do, is make sure that as he goes through and does his fixes, that we can follow those directions given to us. So, yeah, we are, and to the best of our ability, doing that. That was one unfortunate thing. We were not able to get to that shed and to try and support it, raise it, and do the things necessary, because it was not safe enough to even walk in. So,
John Yeomans, there was a hailstorm that went through here. There's quite a bit of hail damage out in the cornfield right now, if you look at it. So.
Okay, so that, okay. Because I noticed when
it was a severe storm that went through this area this summer.
I was wondering about that because...
When we decided to pursue the historic registry, that building wasn't going to survive.
That it probably went, and then that's what did it.
And the whole idea is to, no money was spent out here for 50 years, is to get the buildings that were survivable and stabilize and restore them. But that building was beyond repair. And what we didn't realize, it was even more beyond repair than we thought it was. Because when John actually went in, he's like, we said there's no way, we don't want to restore it. Let's salvage the wood so that we can use it on the buildings that are worthy of restoring. But not very little of the wood.
Very little of the wood was actually any good. And it was after the storm came through that I went out there a second time but I went out there again and did a examination of it. I just was like, this building has shifted a whole lot more just in the past, and it was actually just 2 weeks since I'd last been in it. I said, it shifted a whole lot more, and I'm actually really no longer comfortable being in here for really any amount of time. So it was at that point where I really made a concerted effort to get all those jars and everything out of there, and people wonder, well, how'd you make sure you were safe? Well, I said, well, I kind of grew up in a lot of old structures because there were a lot of old buildings on my parents' property. And so I kind of know what to listen for and feel for, and made sure I had at least I was able to get away from the building within a second and a half wherever I was in the building. So that way I made sure all my exits were marked and cleared. So it was one of those things where it was that unstable. And I was going to say, Eldon, I took him in at once and he said, you'll never get me in here again. Yeah, and I couldn't even get him to
look crazy.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't even look inside the door after that.
It's worth talking about which buildings there are historical and you want to preserve for that reason, because there are two buildings there. One was built by Secondary Roads to store the equipment, and it's now 40 years old, so unfortunately for my age, that's considered historic. But there are two kind of lean-to-like buildings. that are not historical, not original to anything, and were never used for the poor farm at all. Whether they remain here or not, or they detract from the historic, is another discussion, but they may be valuable to people who may be doing local foods out here. And so, because you have the dairy barn, the big barn, the asylum, that little shed thing.
Oh, yeah, the corn cribs. What's that little shed?
What's that there? Little shed?
Right next to the lean.
They call it the can shed because they're using it to put all their cans in.
And then you have the grain silo. And then there's two other buildings there that have nothing to do with the original Ford farm. They were just put there for in the lifetime of many of us here. And so, but the one that was historic, but well beyond anything, had to come down. It was not safe, even for the public to be nearby.
So as we discuss like the buildings, were there any other questions or comments, your thoughts? I mean, and some of this is just kind of, as we get into visioning, and we go beyond just the triage and making sure that the roofs are stable and we can not have the animals get in anymore and secure it, that's when we can start to dream a little bit and think about that. So,
Terrence, can we have Bob talk just for a minute? Because since I've been a supervisor, you had actually talked to us about putting the third building out here. And then with mental health reorganization and everything, you kind of put the brakes on that. Can you talk about that? Because that gets to that public square.
Right. I did have a question, but I'll ask that after I answer your question, Janelle. You have to realize I'm not a decision maker, as you know, about what when and if they decide to go forward with more housing. But I did talk to Vivian this morning, and there seems to be, they're full, they stayed full. There's 19 apartments there, and there's a waiting list. So there's a need, but then, you know, there's pushback and step forward pushback of whether they should do it or not because of the changing mental health climate in the state and how they provide the needs for the needs of the special needs that live there now. So I don't know the answer. I think you should probably have to talk to Vivian.
But at the time we talked about it, I mean, you talked about four buildings at the most, and then Vivian expressed concerns that if you go beyond that, you're concentrating too many people in one area. And I mean, I don't think anything's changed. If anything, the brakes were kind of put on.
There are two buildings there now, and I think the plan was to build two buildings more, which would bring you up to 38 apartments. And I think Vivian's opinion was that was the right size.
Thank you. I think a lot of people don't realize it's there.
But the other question is what is the future of Chatham Oaks? If that building is going to be used for what, or could part of that building be retrofitted to accommodate apartment lifestyle versus more critical need? Depending on, again, the whole system of mental health and the rules have changed in regards to the Affordable Health Care Act and such, in regards to how much population can be in that building versus having it more into the hospital designation, things of that nature. So I think there's a lot of questions just as far as the future of Chatham Oaks that have to be answered at some point in the next couple of years. So we don't know.
I think that's a question for Vivian.
Yeah.
Again, and she told me this morning that their census was high. I think she said they were full.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. She told me, too, that because of closures of other entities in the area, their population is full right now. But
yeah.
You're right, things are changing.
Questions on the, any other additional questions on the barn? Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
I guess I have a question there. Terrence, is there a historic designation that we have now on the, in this area, is there a boundary to it? Is it the entire 130 acres, or is it an area of a boundary?
It's not all 130 acres. Mickey, or who wants to answer that? That
pretty much the blue area.
So the area that's aqua, including the... So in essence, the area that's in aqua is what is the area we...
That's designated on the land use plan for 2012 as 130 acres public / historic.
Well...
But that L, the hashtag was taken out.
This area, this whole area is 130, but when you take out this hashed area, it drops that, I think, right below 100 or right around 100.
And say your name again.
Oh, right. I'm Jenilee Swain. And the idea here or that you mentioned of having a garden plot, community garden plots or CSAs, strikes me as a good one because it furthers the use of the area in terms of producing food. And that's, to me, that's a good thing. I also think that the barns are valuable because I can't think of any other area that's public in this area in Johnson County where school kids or other people can see barns as they work in a public space. And it also tells agricultural stories. So, and if there is development in these other places, like out by the cemetery and such, I would hope there'd be some kind of a buffer to so that if you're on the historic site, you're not seeing the apartments or development.
Sure, go ahead. Just go ahead.
One of the things we're going to touch on, and just to explain a little further, the board did do an RFP for the use of a portion of the property for local food. John and Bob are here. There was a proposal put together by multiple agencies to take about 2 acres. And sorry on that, but you wouldn't be able to see it. But it was basically the park behind the historical building, about 2 acres to use for local food and benefiting Table to Table and some of the various food pantries. And so the RFP from the board was very general, and the proposal also was very general, so we're in the process of they're putting some more specifics together, and the board is going to meet with them and kind of hash some of that out. But the plan is to take 2 acres out of the current farm for those purposes.
And part of that is just getting that idea started. If 2 acres can work to have organizations potentially identify to grow products and give those to those most in need, that sounds like a pretty neat start to what is some potential out there as far as interpretation or anything else.
Perhaps balances service to people who need things, how we served people who needed care in the 1850s was not so laudable, though it was typical to them, but we could improve our record, I guess.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that because a year ago we were hopeful that we would have a partnership with Goodwill, bringing the poor farm complete circle. But there's farms in Wisconsin, Michigan, that... people with disabilities and work on farms and have their own products and get revenue and income and joy of being outside. And there was a vision of having some of that at the poor farm, but as you know, sheltered workshops are part of a federal fight, and Goodwill just, this isn't the right time to take on what would be a major program and need to have some significant fundraising around it. And so I think the board was really excited when we heard from Goodwill about this idea to bring the poor farm complete circle in a much more positive way. But it just, it may happen again in the future. It just doesn't fit with Goodwill's needs right now. So when Bob's group came forward with this RFP, I think the board was back to, oh, wow, you know, this is good too, because you're going to have a consortium of food providers to people living in need that will grow food together. And one of the things I talked to Bob about last week is there had been a little bit of desire of edible forest. And when we don't know exactly what the rest of the pork farm is going to look like 10, 15 years from now, if you're going to put in an edible forest, you kind of have to have a long-term vision. But I mentioned that to John Yeomans, and John says, oh, I have a better place for it. Not up by the farms, actually part of their back into the pork farm. And so I think if we get a meeting of the minds here, we may be able to make a lot of progress on growing local foods for all the pantries and the food providers here at the pork farm. And it may not all be really close to the buildings. It may be there's a better location, and John has some ideas about it.
And that's been part of the hang-up a little bit, is where to put even just a couple of acres just to get something started. We just hate to be in a situation where you take 2 or 3 years, you get the ground ready, it's all ready to go, and then all of a sudden you think, boy, I wish we wanted to put it there, because that would have been a nice spot for, I don't know, something really exciting, like an amphitheater or something. You know, so, like I said, think big. So, but nonetheless, I mean, that's the kind of thing that, where we need some help here as we start this process. The other hang-up has been water. Utilizing city water is likely going to be what's used, and a lot of folks don't like to garden with city water. So that's another issue.
If anybody wants to write out a check for $20,000, we'll take it and put in water, though.
Yeah, Bob Amberg from Table to Table. One thing we were talking with Scott Kepke, who is another one of our partners in this collaboration, and he was hopeful with the ambient rainfall that we've had in the last couple of years that and if we utilize some water capturing ability, possibly catching the water off the roofs of mm-hmm. the existing buildings, that we would be able to supplement what water we would need. So the necessity for having water piped in may not be as crucial as we're kind of thinking at some point when we're talking about things like expenditure.
But I mean, we're going to have potentially a bathroom facility and such anyway,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Utilizing city water versus we're not going to have well water out there likely. The city,
right.
We're in the city limits, and their regulations question
well,
that
but
kind
if
of
we
thing.
We wouldn't have to worry about any, if we just use natural water.
Yep.
For
and you could always bring it in too. Yep.
That would mitigate that. But the other thing too is as I'm hearing what other folks are saying too, is I know that Scott's really excited about an educational component of these gardens as well, so that those groups won't be precluded from coming out. So if the people from the sheltered workshops are able to come out on field trips or however they envision that, they could still have that excitement and joy of getting out, working with the plants, as well as maybe partnering with the school system. And it's quite the potential is just limitless for the number of parties that we can bring in and help make this a success.
All right, so we've covered a little bit on the local food side of things and the buildings. We still have some things to talk about, like, for instance, the trail. So maybe that's something, John, you want to talk a little bit about?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of you walk part of the trail going back to the cemetery, which I really like to use a map.
And maybe angle it a little bit better.
Try putting it on the other one.
John, can you slide that TV on the cart to the right?
Well, I'm going to start on this map then. Okay.
If you picked up one of these, it's
yeah.
on here.
Does everyone have one of these maps? Okay. Well, anyway, if you start up here, it's, you can see where the West Barn is. It's a large object furthest to the left side of your page. So you follow that green strip down to where the cemetery is. And then if you actually follow that tree line back towards the east, you just keep following that tree line. That's where I've put in basically what is now a mode trail connecting all the way over to Hunter's Run at the far right side of the page. So, okay, well, anyway, it comes all the way over here, follows the property line all the way over to Hunter's Run, worked with the city, and actually punched it through already to Hunter's Run Park so people can actually walk it. I did not, I put the fence up actually recently and kept it up so that way if the farmer's out there combining, any liability we might have, we can say, you know, we still have the fence up. So that's one reason why I actually kept the fence up. If any of you have walked Hunter's Run, you actually have to step over a low fence to get onto that. And the reason why is because I did not think it's wise to have people out there when the farmer's out there combining. So after the farmer's done combining, I will swing that fence loose, and that way people can walk it really before the snow starts flying. And after the snow flies, they can snowshoe it. So that's what we're talking about for the trail. Now, the hiking trail, since the screen's not up yet, you're going to have to be a little more creative here. And you see this green splotch where the cemetery is. Well, basically, you come all the way to the east side of that cemetery, and then kind of draw, you see the blue squiggly line? Well, draw one kind of parallel along that, but about a half inch to the south of it. And then come over where that blue line meets the other, where the creek meets the other creek at the Y. Come back about a quarter inch, and we're talking about putting in, what is it called, Larry, where it's a, and that creek area, that crossing, what kind of crossing is it called?
Upside down bridge.
Basically an upside down
crossing.
Okay, basically that's the kind of crossing we're looking to put in, because there's not a lot of water that flows along there, unless we just had a heavy rain like we had here a couple times this year. So putting in one of those bridges, because at most times there may be an inch of water, maybe 2 or 3 inches, and it's not very wide, so people can step right across it. So it's just going to be a hiking trail through there. It's not going to be paved, but there are basically two spots in here, and you won't be able to see the other one, but the one's going to be an upside-down bridge, basically, and then the other one's going to be like a stone crossing. Is that what, just what it's called?
Right. You've seen those where they're not content. You step from one stone to the next.
And the reason why we're looking at a stone crossing is because it's just very wet. It's not that there's a lot of water rushing across it. It's just that it's so wet. When you go walking across there, even in the middle of summer, it's still wet. So giving people stones to step on at all times, even after we've had a rain, we'll get them across that area and will be a very low impact to that area. In fact, they've already piled a bunch of stones out there, but they're covered with moss and some other things, so they're quite slippery, so I don't recommend people stepping on them right now. But we're talking about putting in something of that nature that it was already out there, replacing it with something pretty much exactly like that. So people can get from the cemetery, use the hiking trail, cross the creek, head and right back to what will eventually be a paved trail. And I've been lobbying the board that even though we're going to put in a paved trail, to keep at least 10 feet for those of us who like to walk on the grass versus hard surface. So anyway, that's basically what we're looking at for trails. The city has Hunter's Run Park here, and they have a long-term plan, and hopefully it's not as long as it could be, but to punch that trail and connect it with the Willow Creek Trail that runs behind Fairway and up through the, what is that residential area?
Galway Hills.
Galway Hills, okay. And that way, that Galway Hills will connect under 218 to Hunter's Run, which will connect to the county court farm. So people will be connected to the trail system of Iowa City and be able to get all the way up to the county court farm. That is the ultimate vision for that. And watch, I'll bet you this will come up right now.
which has a lot to do with a next step, because I think the board up to a certain point, we're all on the same page. And one of those is that we believe the Poor Farm should be a trailhead. So that there are restroom facilities there, and we would bring in Iowa City Water and Sewer from across the road and build a restroom facility and parking that would be part of the historic interpretation would be self-guided, and Mickey will get to that part. And the trailhead, and then the hard surface trail would connect to Hunter's Run. Once you're at Hunter's Run, you have choices, but they involve going back through the neighborhood and then onto Rare Road. The city would like to punch that under 218. So one of the things we can talk about is using the county's money through the conservation bond that 60.8% of the county voted for, and using that money to help leverage grants that may help us with getting the trail underneath the interstate so that the county conservation, county trail through the Poor Farm would then tie into their urban system, and that people would be able to start wherever they want and end up at the Poor Farm, which would remain a working farm. We know that people are already using it. All those mowed strips, the farmer reports that it's not unusual to find people out hiking, you know, their dogs running, and both from the neighborhood and also Chatham Oaks and Melrose Ridge. So there's a lot of people already using the Poor Farm. They own it. They should use it. We just want to figure out a way to make it a little clearer where they're most safe to be hanging out on the Poor Farm.
Right. And if people are wondering what the board's been discussing about for the trailhead, and we don't want to disturb a lot of ground at the Poor Farm, so one thing we've talked about is the building that's come down and using that site as the site to put the trailhead, so that way we don't tear up any more ground at the Poor Farm area. So the dirt that you saw over there when you're walking over there, we think that may be an okay site to locate the restrooms, because it's kind of in the center of the property. So if you're in the West Barn, it's not that far to get to the restroom. If you're in the Dairy Barn, it's not that far to get to the restroom. If you're out there working the 2 acres, it's not that far to the restroom. So we think it's probably one of the best spots to locate the building, being centrally located in the building space. And then I've also talked with the city as they are looking at developing, well, not developing, but they have some property. I'll use the map.
They have some property. You go to this 40-acre parcel here. The city owns the property just to the south. It's kind of in an oblong kind of angle right in here. And you can see the cul-de-sac from the residential area coming down there. But also talking with the city about, you know, potentially connecting to the paved surface trail right across their property. So that way you have two connections. Hunter's Run, and then you can connect right into the neighborhood right there. So those are
I think the gist of it is that as we kind of determine where the best location for the trail is that we still want to, for quite a while, to allow farming to continue in that area. That does generate revenue for the county. Those dollars are then reinvested into, will be, and they have been, reinvested into the county Poor Farm. So we don't want to take out too many acres of production. It is profitable for Johnson County to get some additional dollars that we've been using to put back into some dollars for those buildings. So we don't want to take a lot of that out, and we still want to respect the fact that it's still generating revenue for the county. If there's not any other questions on the trail portion, the only other thing we wanted to add is that IWV Road is a road that is identified as a future project for Johnson County to upgrade. We're in the very preliminary talks to work with the city of Iowa City on that, but we can anticipate in the next 5 to 7 years that IWV Road, which is Melrose Avenue, from that area all the way at least to Ivy, which goes into Tiffin, will be projects that will be done in the next 5 to 7 years. So maybe a wide paved shoulder at least for bicyclists. Yeah.
Terrence, that was my question about from the trailhead, say to connect to Clear Creek Trail or someplace like that, what would be the route, and would it be on IWB up into Tiffin and then connect there? Or?
Well, as far as a separated trail, I don't think anyone's talking about that along IWB Road, but at least a wide paved shoulder could be a pretty ideal location to get bicyclists from Raritt through the County Poor Farm, utilizing Hunter's Run, and you can anticipate at least getting it to Ivy, which is the road that goes over the interstate and has the actual interstate connection eventually over to Tiffin, which would end up hitting that Clear Creek Trail, which then creates quite a loop to the Kent Park and such that are going to be a part of that.
Right, because for me it's about connectivity. And so if the end is the trailhead, then that's the end. But getting people to connect to the Clear Creek Trail, to me, would be really important.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that people that are going to want to use and go ride their bikes to the County Poor Farm probably want to continue to go on,
yeah.
And they'll utilize IWB Road for that.
And eventually,
that gets fairly close to kind of that vision that actually goes and connects all the way into Coralville via, I guess you can kind of say, near the IHOP. So you can, I mean, even road, you know, a larger road structure that MPO is actually kind of envisioned, that gets us fairly close to that as well. So,
Mike, 965 is projected to punch through and over the interstate and come out onto IWB and then eventually Raritt Road, and really long-term vision that I'm not sure any of us will be around down the Highway 1.
Would that be in this area, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, but
to the west
would be a more long Hurt Road.
But that is how you would get to Clear Creek.
Yeah.
What's envisioned now is it would be a U. You would come from the county farm into the urban area and back out to Clear Creek. There's no trails plan that has a connector yet because 965 will become that connector. I don't know what the plans are. Sometimes it sounds like Coralville's really pushing it, sometimes not. But that would punch through and that would be your connector.
Thanks.
With the separated, yeah.
Yeah. Suggestion, Jennifer Price. You're talking about putting the trailhead in the pole barn location. Just a suggestion, so it doesn't look like an intrusion, but have it somehow suggest the pole barn.
We talked about that.
Okay.
We're nowhere near.
Oh, I know.
but there's a way, and you're all going to roll your eyes when I say this, but DNR and lots of conservations are putting in these prefab restrooms because they are just, they serve as a storm shelter. And so they go in a lot more affordably, they're secure, and they serve as a storm shelter. You can dress them up however you want. The interior is like a solid concrete thing. And so I had said that if there's a way that, when we're looking at this, it can at least not be an eyesore to the poor farm. That would be helpful, but we're nowhere near talking about it, and we don't have cost estimates. We would probably be going after grants for this.
It would be nice if it would, not take up any more room than the previous building and just suggest.
Yeah. And we don't quite know where to put it. If it goes there, maybe we want that open space a little more and put it more towards the road.
And then there could be a sign there saying,
yeah. Yeah. And I think that let's talk a little bit about signs and historical nominations and grants. And Mickey Miller has been leading that effort. So let's talk a little bit about, we have some signage ready to come up, right?
Right. We got a grant from South of Smokestack National Heritage Area. I worked with Alex from the Historical Society. So we have that funding in place to do some interpretive signage out there. We're planning on producing those and installing them in the spring. So Alex and I will be working together, probably mostly Alex, and the Historic Preservation Commission to work on the actual text that will go on those signs. We also have a grant application out right now to the grant program. That's the same program that we use for hiring a consultant to prepare the nomination for the National Register. This will be to hire a consultant to help with furthering this sort of process with visioning and coming up with an action plan for what the board and the community would like to do. And then obviously with the new designation from the National Register, as Terrence mentioned earlier, that gives us
questions on, so if you kind of want to have some say on what those interpretive signs ought to have on them, this would be a good time to kind of let Mickey in on, I'm sure we'll do some kind of committee process and some public comments about that. I think we're envisioning a little bit, if you've ever been out to Kent Park, you've seen some interpretive signs, they're weatherproof and all that, so there's some potential there.
The ones we have are at
Sutliff Bridge.
Which was the same grant, so a self-guided history tour as opposed to someone would be employed to sit there.
All right, this would be probably a good time to have some open discussions, questions, comments, and then think about some of the next steps we need to consider. So who wants to get started with that? Anyone? What's your thoughts? What's your vision?
I'll start one. You know, originally I really had a vision of Historical Society being out here, having a separate facility perhaps to the west of those buildings, and they could provide tours and so forth on all that. It just seemed like a good fit. However, they seem to be locked in at their location in Coralville for a long period of time, so that's just not feasible to do it at this time.
What are other people's thoughts? I know Local Foods has a lot of ideas. If you've been following a little bit of Johnson County Food Policy Council and some of their suggestions, they have quite a vision in regards to a lot of potential for community gardens, fruit trees, a lot of opportunities maybe for small farmers, 2 or 3 acres that could be used for them to farm with a certain amount of produce going back again into the community for those in need. There's a lot of different ideas floating out there. A few weeks ago, the Board of Supervisors had some folks come in from Madison, Wisconsin, talking about an interpretation of a certain public portion of property that could be used for community sustainability, housing. I mean, there's a lot of different potentials out there. What we know is that this isn't the Board of Supervisors' property. It's your property. And what kind of vision do you want to have out there, and how aggressive do we need to be? You know, this stuff is pretty expensive, too, if you have real big visions for things like amphitheaters and big parties, opportunities for, you know, like a community-style celebration barn like you've seen in some of the other parts of the county, what the potential is of having festivals or having interpretation of having classes come out, where to put them, what about the parking, how do we, you know, station them, working closely with the City of Iowa City, making sure that we're respecting the historical significance of it, making sure we're not going against the National Historic Registry, making sure that Iowa City's Historic Preservation Commission, which has the authority because this is in the city limits of Iowa City, that we're working with them. So working with conservation, who's going to manage the trails once we get a trail system in there? I mean, there's a lot of questions like that. We don't typically have a lot of county parks inside the City of Iowa City, how to work together with the city. I mean, there's what's going to happen in the future of Sloth Hour. Where is development going to occur outside of that? I mean, these are all the things that are just getting started. But as you know, when we start building something or allowing for a certain something, it'd be nice to have a pretty good plan in place and kind of a vision for that. That's what this conversation is about. So anyone have thoughts, ideas, vision? Yeah?
Mike Carberry again. I think that getting the public involved as much as possible in committees to vision this stuff, not just the people in this room, but this is a public place, and get the public involved and maybe set up committees, and one for the overall project, and then maybe have a foods committee and have a trails committee, and maybe and break it down into maybe a little bit finer thing. Might not be a bad idea to get public input and to get what their vision is along with people in this room.
We've had really good first initial steps, particularly with the City of Iowa City's government. We had a very good meeting, three or four weeks ago now, of just starting that process and that visioning and kind of getting to know each other as far as the staffs. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this doesn't work if we don't have community buy-in. It doesn't make it any fun anyway. So. What are some other thoughts? Yeah, Becky? It's a good question.
Sound of telling someone, well, we're going to go help you learn some job skills or learn farming, or can go to the poor farm and do it.
And yeah, I guess it's a good question.
For another day.
Right.
What to call a park, what to call the trail, what to call...
I would argue to keep it called the poor farm, because I've looked back at our old maps. It actually is on there, County Poor Farm. And so...
And poor farms have a rich history. Every county in Iowa had a poor farm at one point. Mm-hmm. And we are the... I think the only remaining poor farm that of this size. And so it's for another argument someday. But I would err on the side of not always leaving poor farm, because that's what its history is.
Yeah, it was called the county home for a while, but that doesn't convey what you want to.
No, well, yeah, when you look back at the old maps that they have, you have the county home and you have county poor farming. It's just, I don't know.
I'm glad, Becky, you said about this EPA technical assistance program. Is there any way we can get that in? Well, I'll tell you, because one day when we were brainstorming, I mean, I've been coming to poor farm meetings since 1994. And nothing's been done. My spouse used to be the curator of the Historical Society, and I think that's when they first called a meeting begging the board to stabilize the asylum the first time, and they did, and that's where the floor came in. So, you know, that doesn't seem that long ago, but John was not very old. You were 10. And so we had done nothing since the 90s. Other than put the roof on. And so we are on the cusp of doing some really neat things here. Well, one of the things I said that I wanted to talk about is next door to here, that way, is our brand new maintenance building that's going up. We don't have a contract yet, but we have a company, we're negotiating a contract that's going to be filled with solar panels. It will be a net zero energy user most of the time, electric user. We've talked about future phases to take this campus and have other phases of solar. But one day I said, why not a solar array on the poor farm that powers all the buildings that used to be on the poor farm? And that's, Jack is an energy hog, just so you know. Joint Emergency Communications, Chatham Oaks, Melrose Ridge, across the state is the you know, the armory and this building. And so, you know, there are other visions about what a farm could look like. And solar arrays and farming can go hand in hand. And people like to come and look at them. And so, I mean, I think that's an option out here. What I don't think is an option, at least for me, is I have very, very little desire to develop the poor farm. And if I did, it would be something really visionary in a small area that brought in other things that were important to the people of this county. Because we are never going to get back open space. And so if we start piecemealing and putting a building here and a building there and a building here and a building there, we will never get that land back. And I just think that that's something, a large chunk of land that we need to have a vision that it remains the people's land as much as we possibly can. And that, to me, is one of the things I don't consider that negotiable, is to sell off chunks of land.
So, I mean, again, each of us has an idea, and as you start to think about these things, I guess probably as far as the next steps, what would you like to see us do? What's your thoughts on next steps? More meetings? And we like to have those, but, you know, to get an idea of, like, where we go from here, maybe some of that interpretation can be helpful if we do receive some professional guidance in regards to what we're going to be doing. The Board of Supervisors is arranging a site visit to Madison this coming spring to view the neighborhood concept that they actually developed at one of their parks that made a sustainable neighborhood with affordable housing and a lot of community buy-in and pretty neat visionary thing that Madison did. So, I mean, there's a lot of different potentials here. Yeah, Larry.
I think one of the things that the Conservation Board would like to do right away is to start working with the supervisors of the city of Iowa City in planning for the trail. Determining where the path is, just starting the whole planning process. If we should package it together with putting in the tunnel under the interstate and just start that process right away. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I think that's a really great idea, and there's probably a few folks in this room that would love to work with conservation and start that. I mean, you can't start it any sooner than to start looking at the potential of matching that up with some opportunities for additional funding out there. Particularly if we're weighing in and spending some dollars of our own, there's really that potential matching opportunity.
Larry, my play on it is that there's no difference in my world between conservation and the county. And that to see the Conservation Board with the new staff we put in place and are about to put in place this spring, take ownership and buy-in to the poor farm. I think that was needed 20 years ago. And that's been the missing piece here. Because we don't have another department that we can force to run. I mean, we can force them. I mean, we force planning and zoning to do all kinds of things that's not really in their, you know, actual job descriptions.
It is other duties as assigned.
But, you know, to Elvin, it's hard because, you know, Elvin can maintain the buildings, but to say we want you to envision a working park here that the public's welcome and the historic interpretation, and we just need a team leader. And I think everybody's on board with at least a vision to a certain point. We just need a team captain. And then I think all the rest of the departments of the county will fall in line in the partnership with Iowa City. I think is brewing. I just think we need a quarterback. And if that's going to be your new staff member, Brad Friedhoff, who's kind of assigned this type of topic, that would be wonderful.
I find it surprising that the conservation in the past wasn't excited about that project, because when I go through those buildings and look at the old farms and everything that we're talking about, to me the whole thing is really exciting. So it's a conservation board to say, and obviously I work for them, but I would think that the conservation board would be really excited about getting involved in the project as a whole.
Yeah, and it makes sense that the sun is shining on the conservation director.
You
know, she picked the one spot.
You should move on to this one.
I think it's really exciting, those buildings. I've only walked through the site a couple times and never been inside them. And I've restored some old historic buildings, too, that were built in the 1860s. And I restored the old Jerry Morris barn to its original condition. And these are in much better shape than the buildings that I've worked with.
Was that up in Jones County, or?
That one's in Dallas.
Oh, in Dallas, yeah.
Jerry Morris barn about the same size. So when you see all these different people in the room, usually we would do projects like this and have to go out and try to generate enthusiasm and support, and to have all this interest is pretty remarkable, including from the five board supervisors. I mean, it's just amazing. Sometimes I feel like there's two conservation boards in the county.
Well, we like the way the partnership is working now. I do. And we're just waiting on a team captain here. I mean, right now we've got planning and zoning involved, we've got facilities involved, we've got the board office involved. We steal equipment and borrow it from conservation and secondary roads, and we're borrowing from our NGOs and the historical society. And we just kind of need a team captain, and then I think everything would begin to fall into line pretty quickly for at least that amount of this board farm. The restoration of the buildings, the trailhead, the trail, the local foods. And then the next parts are going to involve more visionary. You know, what comes next after we get that done.
So, additional steps? Yeah.
In terms of thinking about the trail, bike trail, but would there be people from local cycling clubs who might have perspectives that are useful?
Yeah, I think... I'm assuming, Larry, when you suggested that conservation be a part of the trail discussion as far as the design, where it ultimately goes, how it doesn't necessarily take away from some of the farming practices now, if some of it is paved, if some of it is more walking without pavement, I would have pretty good assumption that the MPO Trails Committee, Johnson County, is starting to create a brand new Trails Committee. Or regenerate one that's been kind of fallen off for a few years. And again, we have staff now specifically designed for that task. But there's a lot of things on Brad Friedhoff's plate, particularly with the Hoover Nature Trail, if you're reading the paper in the last day or today even. So. Other comments, thoughts? Yeah.
John Bullering helped Bob and Scott. I just wanted to quickly commend the Board of Supervisors for recognizing the potential of that land to be used to address food insecurity in our county. I know Janelle has raised this number in the last 100 years, but there's over 18,000 people in the county who are food insecure and who need food, especially, you know, very nourishing food like fresh produce. And so, just the potential of these 2 acres to grow food and distribute an already existing network through table to table. Exciting, and I'm sure we'll be working with you closely to nail this plan down a bit more. There's a ton of partners.
Great. That'll be just the start. All right. If I'm not generating more, again, I think that as far as steps go, our board will kind of, as Mike, you suggested a little bit, to kind of break this down a little bit in regards to who would be kind of the leaders of the little pieces here, to bring this together as far as from all the different perspectives, and get us back in a room like this, and to have the City of Iowa City and your leadership here today has been really, really helpful and really appreciated, because I think that you all recognize this is in the city limits of Iowa City. This is going to be the West Side City Park in the future. It just is going to be. So how to make this really a cool thing is kind of how we're starting here, and the potential. And I think what would be helpful, I know for myself and probably for all of us, is to cheat a little bit and look and see what other places are doing around the United States, and see how we can get some of their ideas and what's worked out there to make this just maybe even a little bit different, but cooler. So.
Rob who said this morning, if I'm wrong, I'm already getting tired in the day, but someone said that each supervisor should put on paper what we want the fourth one to look like 10, 15, 20 years from now. And dream big, dream really big, and then we would begin to figure out if we have common ground. And I actually think you all should do the same thing. And then, we can come back together with all the post-it notes and little dots and begin to see the collective large community of partners. But I think everybody has different visions, and up to a point, what's been happening in the last 20 years is people talked and then nothing happened, and then people talked again and then nothing happened, and then there was a plan and then nothing happened. And now I think we're clearly tired of that.
But some things have happened. I mean, we put a joint emergency communications center. Was that the right spot to put it? Now you think about it, I'm just, those are the kind of things that we have done some things.
Well, the good thing about all the boards in the past is every other thing you said no to.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't have said no
to the golf course and the Yeah.
But I think if you all would put your dreams on and email them in to us, either at SUPS, the collective address for all of the board, but Andy would collect them. And then when we meet again, maybe we can all start pinning down where the public is and all of our partners are on what are the steps next.
Sound like something to think about.
We have all of your emails, right? You got here for a reason. So no, we don't have them. There was a sheet of paper coming around.
I didn't necessarily ask for email, but if you weren't on my email distribution list, if you'd see me afterwards, I'll get it. And so you get a future one.
All right, any other comments? That's fine.
I think another step is to, now that it's listed on the National Register, apply for it to become a local historic district. I don't think that has been done yet, right? Because that will give it kinds of protection that the National Register will have.
Okay. So that's pretty important. Okay. Any other thoughts, comments? I know we'll be working with you folks from the local foods, kind of charitable perspective, working with John Yeomans in regards to where really pin down where that best location is, so that we can get a new contract with the farmer lined up, and same with the trails. So, okay. Any other comments? Otherwise, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.